Let's take our Bibles and turn to Colossians chapter 3 again. Colossians chapter 3. For those of you who have not been with us, maybe this is your first time to be in on our Colossians study. We're now in the part where Paul is speaking of living the Christian life, and he's using this picture of the old man, who you were before Christ saved you, has been put off. You're putting off. The new man in Christ puts on. And so Paul is here in chapter 3 elaborating on this great truth. We're going to pick it up again today in the flow of his teaching about the put off and put on in verse 9 and 10. And then also, after I read that, I'm going to turn back a few pages and read out of Ephesians, the companion text, chapter 4, verse 21. First, chapter 3, verse 9, Paul says to these Colossian Christians, lie not to one another. This was the ending or the end of a list. And lie not to one another. And here he says, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. Verse 10. And what have they done? They have put on the new man, which was renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. And then turn back just a few pages to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 21. A very similar teaching and thought of the Apostle Paul. Verse 21 says, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation or lifestyle, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Amen. Let me pray briefly. Father, open your word to us. Make it alive and glorious, the gospel of your Son, the new man, what it means to be a Christian, and the great realities from the Scriptures and in daily life. God in us, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Bless your word, feed your flock, magnify the glory of your name and who you are. Amen. One of the great thinkers and theologians in the history of Christianity was Saint Augustine of Hippo. Most all of you have heard of him, right? He lived in the late 300s into the 400s. He was a 5th century man. And he will be quoted and read in various parts of the earth today because of his incredible teachings and truths and pillar writings on the Christian faith. Augustine. But this was not always true of him. Those of you who remember a little bit about Augustine's life, you remember that as a young man, you would have wanted to stay very clear of that guy. I'm talking about into his 20s and 30s. You would have wanted to stay far away from Augustine and the evil women that he associated with. But then something changed. And it changed forever. And after this, one of his old girlfriends saw him again and she cried out to him. This is in Charles Leiter's book on justification and regeneration. She said, Augustine, Augustine, it is I. Upon which Augustine answered, but it is not I. What was he saying? What was Augustine saying to the former girlfriend? Augustine is saying, the man you're talking about is an old man. It was somebody else. That's not me. I am a new man. That's what Augustine said. And that's what he lived for the rest of his days. He lived as a new man. Yes, saints, this was true of Augustine, and it is true of every Christian in the history of God's redemptive grace, taking people from death to life. And his Son, they're new men. They're a new man. I know that the ESV uses new self. I don't like that word. seems to be not forceful or clear enough in the reality of man. And I'll get into this in a little bit more. So every Christian is a new man. Now this is what Paul is saying here to the Colossian believers. It's what he's saying to Christians throughout the earth today that read his word here in the book of Romans and other places. He's speaking about the reality that you're a new man. And because of that, there's a basis of what he's telling them that they are and should be in their daily living. I mean, how do you warn against the sins in verse 5? Fleshly sexual sins. How do you warn and say against the sins in verse 8? Anger, wrath, malice. How do you warn, or what basis do you tell people to walk away or completely put those off like old garments? What basis does he have? Come on, Paul. His basis is because they're a new man. He says to them, you're not that man anymore, like Augustine. You are not that person anymore, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. That's his basis. Everything we're going to see in the rest of chapter 3 is on that basis. Living the Christian life is based upon you are a new creation. What Jimmy Carter said in the 1970s, in the presidential days, that I am born again. Something has happened miraculous. A new man. A new being, a new person, or if you want to say a new life, there's terms that we could use, has come alive. The person is made new. And that's what Paul is dealing with. And so we need to see the foundation of this truth because it helps us understand why verses 5 and 8 are the putting off. That's no longer who you are. And here going forward is who you are in Christ shows up in your life. Brethren, this truth of being a new man is absolutely critical. It's very critical for every Christian to understand and walk in. It's not just a head thing. It's realities of who we are, how we live. Let me say this. You don't have dual personalities. You're not part old man, part new man. We kind of got into this with the men a few weeks ago during the men's time. There is no such thing. You can't be two of them. You can't be an old man, part of you, and a new man. When I was in design school back in the early 80s, I was introduced, the young students were, to the Chinese philosophy of the yin-yang. Some of you know about it. You see it in different symbols and t-shirts and bracelets. Right? And this concept of two that are balanced, light and dark. Well, you keep stretching that, which designers and people that think like that do. They create this good and evil. And they would say, in many circles of that philosophy, that represents all men in the history of the world. They're part good, part evil. Incorrect. There's only two men in the earth. And they're either in one or the other. There is no dual personality. You are not 50% one and 50% the other. You are, according to biblical terms, in the reality of the work of Jesus Christ upon you and in you, a new man. Okay? This is foundational, and I'll move more quickly as we go through it. But my newest grandson is 21 days old today, right? 21 days old today. But he is one young man. He's one. That's who he is. He's growing in exactly who he is, day by day, and in this pace, week by week, he's growing up in that. So that's the foundation, beloved. And that's what Paul's basis here to exhorting and commanding how to live. So today, my hope and prayer is that all of you, me, you, all of us, will understand better the reality of what it means to be a new man. And those of you that are not Christians would understand you're in the old man. And you need life. You need Christ. So first, what is the biblical truth of the new man? In a sense, I want to quickly lay a theological basis. What is the biblical truth that Paul's getting at here and in Ephesians, of the new man? What is the theology of that? The truth of it. Second, how is this seen? How is this thing of being a new man, how is it seen in the Christian's life? How is it practiced or lived? I had no idea that Brother Brian was going to bring his plumb line. I nearly said to you before you left, like, keep that thing up there. Because if I want to use Brian's, this panel, the irregular pattern of this wood is the old man. It's never straight, never perfectly straight. The plumb line is the new man. It's Christ. You're only in one or the other. That's truth, even in the illustration that Brian was giving. He is the standard. He is the one that gives us life. So first, the biblical truth of the new man. Its theological basis. Its biblical soundness. Why this truth is so important. When Christianity just becomes this thing of a change of lifestyle, I'll take on this, I'll join this, I'll be a part of that. Wait a minute, where's the new man? Where's the new creation? Where's the miraculous work in him? That's why it's important to see it from the Scriptures. Let's go back to the text. Colossians 3, the second part of verse 9. He says that you've put off the old man and his deeds. But then verse 10. And you have put on the new man. There it is. The contrast. You've put one off. One has been done away with. One is new. This is what you're in. Go back to the Ephesians verse. I'll read it to you. You don't even have to look back. Ephesians 4:24, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. There is two of the texts in the New Testament that speak of a new man and the contrast between the two. The old man had his deeds crooked. The new man has been brought into that which is straight, which is Christ Jesus. So there are two representatives of mankind. One of the theologians I read said there are two stocks. Do you have any cattlemen in here or anybody that's raising? What stock are you from? Now that brother Rami's back there going, I know exactly what he's talking about. Is it good stock or is it bad stock? Who are you part of? What representative of mankind are you a part of, right? That's what we're getting at here. The great Puritan Thomas Goodwin said this, there are but two men that are seen standing before God. They are Adam, this is a picture, Adam, the old man, and the Lord Jesus Christ, the new man. Two men. Two kingdoms. Two representatives before God. And therefore, Paul is coming from that basis that there are but two groups or two families that you could be from. The old man. The old man. I shouldn't even have to elaborate on this because that's what anybody is that's not a Christian. They live and breathe everything in the old man. They love darkness rather than light. They glory in their sin and in their evil. They only walk that way, have no ability to see it any differently. They are, if you want to say it in the simplest of way, ruined or completely destroyed in that old man, fallen, depraved, without hope, without God. They're an old man. It's undeniable from Genesis on through the New Testament that they're dead in trespasses and sin. They're in the old man. They fell in Adam. There's not a neutrality. A little child. My 21-day-old grandson is fallen in Adam. He's going to have a new heart. He's going to have a miraculous work of grace in him to make him a new man. That's what the Scripture says. So the old man is your identification in Adam. Fallen. What did Romans 5 tell us? Wherefore is by one man, who was that one man, Adam, sin entered into the world and death by sin. That's the old man. So death passed upon, what does it say? All men. All men are that in that camp, they're in that hopeless estate in Adam, for that all have sinned. When Adam fell as the federal head, if you want to call him that, as the representative of all mankind, when Adam fell in Adam. All of us. And therefore, that is the old man. We have to see it. That's what we are part of. We came from the lineage of Adam as an old man. John Calvin said, the old man is whatever we bring from our mother's womb. As cute as that little John Silas is, he's an old man. That's my grandson. As precious as he is, and your precious children, sons and daughters, by no means are we making light of anything about the gift of God in giving those lives, but we must see it properly. They are in the old man. That's why people do such horrific things, sins. And that's why Paul's basis is, that's what you once were. But now you're made alive. Calvin is right. We bring it from our mother's womb. I wouldn't even have to ask you parents, now that I'm six children into this journey, and several grandchildren, I don't have to ask you if your children manifest them being in an ill man. Do your little ones ever want their old way? Do they ever get angry? Do they ever throw anything? Nah, Stephen and Kathy, y'all have never had any of your children throw anything. Maybe not in the last 2 minutes. But the point is, we're in the old man, ruined, fallen. What is it? How do you see it? How do you know they're in the old man? How do you look back at your life before the mercies of Jesus Christ and you know that you're in the old man? See, if people get the reality of this, they wouldn't be so quick to think they're a Christian. Because they're still living like old men because they are old men. Whereas in the gospel, in the miraculous work of grace, we've been brought into a new kingdom. That's what we're going to get to. But the old man is earthly. Only sees things earthly. The old man is carnal. Loves darkness. The old man is without understanding. Aren't you staggered at what men will do? Have no understanding? The folly, the vanity, the ruin of how they think. They're spiritually blind. The old man is spiritually blind. He does not see anything from God's perspective. He can't discern anything properly. And the old man is ruled by sin, and he is subject to death. And it is a certain thing that condemnation is upon him. Today and forever, that's the old man. So that's the basis of what Paul is contrasting. Seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. That's the before. Grace, or Christ, his redeeming grace upon you, has changed you, translated you into a new man, been made anew. Again, I'm just barely touching today on this, the foundation of the theological reality of an old man versus a new man. It's not a blend. It's not a hybrid. The new man are those that are in Christ Jesus. If Adam is the federal head for all of fallen humanity, then the Lord Jesus Christ is the federal head, the new head of all made alive humanity, redeemed humanity, sons and daughters of the living God. Christ makes us the new man. Because he is, in the ultimate sense, he is the new Adam, right? He is the perfect one. So our new man is our identification, our union with him. We don't lie to one another because we have put off the old man. We're new with him. We don't commit gross sins and vile things. It's not the pattern of our life. It's not what we go after. Because we're in Christ. He's teaching us a new way. We're identified with him. We've been quickened unto life, made new, made alive. That's the new man. The dead man was dead, completely dead, and the new man has been made alive. And the work, the glorious work of regeneration, right? The quickening of life, spiritual life in us. Not a change of attitude, not a filling out of a card, not going to a church camp and saying, I'm going to change my ways a little bit. We're talking about a new birth. I've turned and Christ is all. I see him now is all. They've been made new. The Holy Spirit miraculously makes new you at the center of your being. Some of the chapters that Brother Charles has in his book that I mentioned deal with this. New man, new heart, new creation. It's new, beloved. But it's all there. It's totally a spiritual man made alive. A Christian that's been a Christian for 1 week is no less of a new man than Brother Jeffrey Thomas today in Wales or wherever his Brother Jeffrey Thomas is, 60 years into the faith. They're both new men. They're because they're in Christ. They have the righteousness of Jesus Christ given unto them. Now you may be thinking, well, wait, what about battling against sin? Hang on. The new man has not been perfected in all of his conquering or victory over sin, but in his core, who he is, what God has done, he has been made a new man, a new heart. We've been brought into a new realm of existence where sin and death no longer rule us. Get the phrases. Sin and death no longer own us. They're no longer our masters. They no longer possess us. Why would Paul say this in Romans 6? Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He's dealing with the same basis here, beloved. Because you've been made a new man, reckon yourselves to be dead to all that was that former life. As I said a few weeks ago, those are the old garments you used to wear. You're wearing new garments, the metaphor, the picture. I'm wearing that which is from Jesus Christ. Jeff touched on this in the parable today at the wedding feast. They had to have the clothes that the king recognized. And the Christian as a new man is put on and continues to put on in growth and grace all of the new wardrobe of the Christian life. Paul said, you are alive unto God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Is it visible? Is it visible? Yes. What does it look like? We talked about our contrast things. We talked about the old man. I said, for example, the old man is earthly. What's the new man? Heavenly. He understands my kingdom, or the kingdom I go to, is the kingdom of the great God and Savior, Christ Jesus. The new man is made in righteousness. We said the old man was carnal, fleshly. The old man was without understanding. The new man has been awakened to see things. I was blind, but now I see. What he rejected, he now loves. The people he used to hang with, he doesn't want to be with. The things he went after, he says, oh, no. I want to go after these things. What he would read from the past is not what he reads today. It's visible. He's a new man. He's a new creation. The old man was ruled by sin, and the new man is delivered from sin's stronghold. See the contrast here, beloved? Paul is saying that's who you are as a new man. To the Colossians, to the Ephesians, to the Galatians, to the Corinthians, those that are in Christ Jesus are a new man. They are alive unto God. They have the heartbeat, boom, 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 of the Holy Spirit dwelling in them. Not only are they delivered from sin, but the new man is immortal. Now that sounds almost too much to us, doesn't it? Immortal. The old man is subject to death, but the new man is what? Been brought into life everlasting. When we pass from this life, we go into eternity with the great King, Christ Jesus. Absolutely clear from the Scriptures, no doubt about it. Immortal. Forever His. Redeemed to Him forever. Listen to how Paul stated this to the Corinthians. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, you remember the rest of this, if any man be in Christ, he's been brought into the new man, Christ, he is a new creature, or new creation. What happened with the old, Paul? Old things are passed away. Behold, some things have become new. No. Behold, all things have become new. Those of you who remember in some of the things about William Wilberforce in England and his stand against slave trade, right? You remember he says, he records that after his conversion, everything that he began to see was new to him. Everything. Everything that he saw, everything that he began to take in was new, was redeemed, or it had a redemptive reality that it was God's, that Christ made it, that it's His. And he saw it that way. On Thursday night, we were about to go to bed. And Krista said to me, I just got to show you something before we go to bed. Now, I'm not on Facebook. Y'all all know that by now. It's pretty obvious. And so I don't live in the constant social media world. If you want to chuckle, you can. Those of you who know me, that is the reality, right? But she said, I've got to show you something. Some of you probably have seen this. I'm not even sure where Krista got the link to it. So she takes me to this YouTube piece, and it's about a man, probably middle-aged, wouldn't you say, who has never seen color, completely colorblind, never seen color in his life. Everything, I guess, was just grayish. Everything. Who's seen this? Josh, you've seen it? Okay. Some of you are going to have to see it after today. And so his family all chipped in. I don't know how they did it, but they bought him a pair of glasses. And they have to be pretty expensive. That are, once you see through them, what it does to the eye and all the science behind that, everything is seen in color. So the YouTube is, he's on the front porch. They give him the box. They're filming this, right? And I'm watching it with Krista. And it takes him a while to get through the sack, get the box open, and he looks at the box like, what in the world is this? And then he pulls out glasses. They look like dark sunglasses. And then he puts them on. And Krista said, stay with it. Watch this. He's outside. It's just, and the emotion begins to overwhelm him. He starts doing this. He's got these glasses on. But at one point he says, oh, the trees, they don't even look real. So we're watching this together. And of course she doesn't know that her husband is in the middle of Colossians 3, Ephesians chapter 4 about the new man. He's been made alive. And I'm watching this man, in a sense, give a sermon illustration that when Jesus Christ awakens him, brings him into the kingdom of light, he sees realities. He understands the gospel, saves sinners. Christ is the one true Savior. And he sees everything anew. Old things are passed away and all things have become new. And as I watched that man and I went to bed and went to sleep, I'm thinking about the realities. But saints, we're not just talking about a pair of glasses. We're talking about being made new in here. A new heart where we love what God loves. We love who He is and what He's about. And we're turning away from the old man and all those deeds of the past. We're throwing out those garments. We got a new lens. We've got a new view. We got a new heart and a new mind. And we're growing in it. Incredible to watch that the other night. Every Christian has been brought into this new man. They are, in their core, made new. Just as Augustine said to that woman of the world, no, that is not I. I'm a new man. I'm different now. Completely in a different kingdom, a different reality. Oh, to God, that the Christians in the United States of America would live that way. There wouldn't be this muddy, fuzzy, what is Christian and what isn't Christian. Holy instruments in God's hand. Holy men, holy women. People set apart for the kingdom of God. People that see through those beautiful glasses of redemptive love in Jesus Christ. They live that way. And the rest of America says, that must be a Christian. Because it's a miracle. They've come into this new man or this new kingdom because of the work of the power of God in them, the Holy Spirit. This new man advances. It's not a one-time close the deal. Oh, you got to become a Christian just to get some security. The new man, like my little grandson, is living. He's growing in it. He's growing in that humanity of just his physical man. We're talking about the spiritual man is growing up in that very reality. That's where Paul's going. So the theological basis is you're no longer this. You put that away. You're a new man. All things have become new. But it's lived. You grow up in it. Go back to the text. How is this seen in the Christian's life? We'll go back to the Colossians chapter 3. The practice, the manifestation, if you will, the expressions of it, the realities of it, the marks of their life. Paul says, and that you put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge. Stop there. Paul's going to give us two aspects. This is not the definitive, final representation of all that means to be a new man. Just this verse. We have a lot of glorious texts to go to. But the two things that Paul points out that mark the new man, that are progressing, advancing, and they're real, and every Christian is, number one, they're renewed in knowledge. The new man has been empowered by the Holy Spirit to new living. Right? New understanding. New perspectives. New grasping of things. It's absolutely fundamental to the growth in Christ. Growing in Him. Growing in the wisdom and knowledge of Jesus Christ. A Christian at 46, it says they were converted, supposedly at 26, there should be an incredible marked change from 26 to 46. Right? It's obvious. They know more of Him. They love Him. They have more sanctification. They have more reality. They have more truth dwelling in them richly because they're growing in grace. If they're a new man, they grow up in it. This isn't legalism. This is growth in reality in the spiritual man. And so like we've said from the beginning, they begin to portray or show in their life that they're new, they're a new creation because it's seen, others see it, how they talk, what they love, where they go. It says they're renewed in knowledge. Oh, saints, the believer is made alive and now knows the one true God and Savior. Knows the knowledge of Him. This is eternal life, that you may know the one true God and His Son, Jesus Christ, right? That is salvation. That is truth, redemption. The man's been made alive. He sees, he beholds. Do we see Him in His fullness yet? Not in the fullness. We won't see that until we get to glory. But they have come with scales removed to see Christ as the one great Savior. The one true God, the Father, the one great Savior, Jesus Christ. And they renewed. They're made alive in this. So it's not this abstract wondering of, they begin to know more of Him. His Word illumines their thinking, their hearts, their minds, their understandings. And they begin to know more and more of the one true God. I've been married 37 years. And there'll be times with Krista that I'll see things, I'll learn about her, that it's new to me. But she's just a spouse. But we're talking about the one true God bringing His sons and daughters along and knowing them. They know Him. They know Him. They see His ways. They see His attributes. They see His rule in all things. They don't think about hurricanes and other plagues or difficulties or economies that go up or down or sicknesses. They don't see any of that as random events. They understand that God is, that He rules. Because as a new man, they're progressing in this, they see the Scriptures more and more as God declares it. It's real. They're open to this. Christ gives you, as a Christian, knowledge of His truth, His kingdom, day by day. Paul is saying that the new man is renewed in knowledge. The emphasis here is that it's active. It's a progressive thing. It's happening all the time. More and more. It's growing like a plant. It's growing up. We've talked about this in some of our points, other places in the book of Colossians, that there's vigor, there's life, there's this growing up in it, but this growing in the knowledge of Him is profound. Paul touches on this in a similar way in 2 Corinthians. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. Listen to the rest of this. And we're changed into the same image. Listen to this. We are changed into the same image from glory to glory. More and more advancement, more and more progression, growing up in knowing Him, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. That's 2 Corinthians 3. Saints, it's progressive. The knowing of Him. You, some days, some weeks, some months, you feel like you're getting nowhere, right? We do. Sometimes I feel it. But in the tender mercies of the grace of God in the life of His people, they're advancing. They're coming along. We are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus, right? He's working in us. For it's God that works in us to will and do of His own good pleasure. It's God in us, God moving, making our understanding more and more. There are things that I grappled with in my 30s that I don't grapple with in the same way anymore. It's God in His tender mercy is teaching me as a son, as a student, if you will. He's tutoring me along. He's bringing me along. He's bringing you along. Just like He did with Augustine in the year 400 and something. He went from death to life. He became a new man, and then he grew up in that. He didn't turn around a week later and write those thoughts. He grew in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. You, as a new man, are being renewed. I ask you, are you aware of that? Is that happening? Are you submitted to it? Are you being brought along in this renewal that He's talking about? He said to the Ephesians, be ye renewed in the spirit of your mind. He means constantly growing, moving along, progressing along. If somebody says they're a Christian and 10 years later or 20 years later, there has been zero growth in the things of Christ, zero interest in the Bible, zero interest in His people, His bride, I say unequivocally, according to Scripture, they are not a Christian. That denies the work of the Holy Spirit and the reality that they're being brought along. They grow. If it's living, it grows. My grandson's alive because he's growing. He's added 10 ounces or something. That's a big deal when you were born under 6 pounds. But he's over 6 now. He's growing. He's alive. He's progressing. And his knowledge will grow as a physical man. Oh, saints, we are advancing because the new man is being renewed in the knowledge of what God has done. It is by degrees. It is experiential. Some months seem slow. Sometimes seem as though God is pouring out such grace and things to your heart and mind that you're growing. But it is happening. The Christian is progressing in knowing and loving Jesus Christ, which leads us or leads them into their conduct and their conformity of their life like Him. He's the standard. He's that plumb line that Brian had. And it becomes visible to the world around them. Martin Lloyd-Jones told the story back in the mid-1900s about an evil man in England. Now, you young guys, you're going to chuckle at this, but it's not necessarily meant to be funny. But this wicked man in London was notorious as a fighter, big guy, brutal guy, bully. And so he was known in the community to stay away from that guy. And he grew a big, obnoxious mustache. Now, it is funny, isn't it? It's like, what? Because like most athletes today and most politicians, I'll have to be a little bit careful here. They're going to have an attitude. You're not going to mess with me. And so this man in England, who was notoriously wicked, grew this big, ugly mustache. Why? Because it would cause other men to say things to him, and that would get him to the fight that he wanted anyway. Sometimes you're around people who are like going, do they just spend their days provoking them? And that's what Lloyd-Jones said this man was known for. Big guy, a bully, a fighter, an old man. Therefore, looked like he was without hope. And then, the blowing of the Holy Spirit, the power of God, rescued the notorious sinner in England for the glory of God. After his conversion, not much longer. I mean, it was a matter of probably days, if not just a couple of weeks. But it was a very short amount of time frame. This big bully who had been brought into the new man, he shaved his mustache. But no one told him to do it. Lloyd-Jones asked him, who told you to shave the mustache? You get where I'm going, right? The one who told him is that one. The great one. Martin Lloyd-Jones said, why? Why did you shave it? And the big bully that had gone from death to life said to Dr. Lloyd-Jones, Them things don't belong to a Christian. You can almost hear him say, them things don't belong to a Christian. You realize the amount of theology in that statement? That's what Augustine was saying to that woman that was still in darkness. But it is not I. That's what you have to say to all of the other things about this world that wants to draw you in. That's not who I am. It's not what I am. In Christ Jesus, I'm new. I'm a new man. I live unto Him. I'm not my own. I follow Him. This man had a renewed way of thinking. He was renewed or made alive in the knowledge of Him and whom He was created. That brings us to the second aspect. Go back to the text. Paul has said that you've put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge. Look at the end of verse 10 there in chapter 3. After the image of Him that created him. This is really phenomenal, what Paul is saying here. The new man, the new Christian, is marked by the image of God. They have an imprint. They have a likeness. They have a resemblance. The man that shaved his mustache, the wicked man that had gone from death to life, he began to realize, I'm in the image of a great God and Savior, and therefore I'm changing. I will change. The new man is marked by the image of God. Yes, the new man has regained what Adam lost. In Genesis 1:27, remember when God created all things and He created man, it says in Genesis 1:27, and in the image of God He made them. Meaning, Adam, Eve. He made humanity in the original creation, in the original plan, or the original day of God and the creation of mankind, He made man in His image. And Adam fell in sin, and therefore it was scarred, it was marred. The image, every person still is made at one level in the image of God, but not in a redemptive way. What Adam lost, Jesus Christ restored, gloriously restored. The Christian is made new, yes, they're renewed, or they're being growing in the knowledge of Him, in whose likeness they've been created. That's what it says here. After the image of Him that created Him. There is a connection to what was lost to now what was gained. There is a reality. The union you have with Jesus Christ means that you have a new identity and a new image, a new portrayal. He brings you into that very image, into His likeness, and continues to transform you or make you like Him in His likeness, in His character, in His holiness, in His set apartness, all those things. Augustine would step in here today and say the very thing. He would say, all that you read and all that you know that I wrote down is because of the grace of Jesus Christ in me. He made me in His image. And that's what he's saying. Both of these two realities, being renewed in knowledge of Him in whose likeness we were created, whose image, both of these are absolute proof texts that the Christian grows up in Jesus Christ. It's undeniable. Christianity in America, this is a shallow, basically tattoo experience that I get some sort of a deal, I go through some sort of an experience. Where does that in the Bible? Christianity is a new life born of Him, new in Him, and growing in Him. He's bringing us more and more to His image. Paul said to the Corinthian church, as we have borne the image of the earthy, Adam, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly, which is Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15. See the contrast? As you used to bear the image of the earthy, which was Adam, now you bear the image of the heavenly, which is Jesus Christ. Yes, beloved, the Christian bears the image of God. Sometimes when we hear this, we go, I don't feel like that's what I am. Right? I'm not asking you necessarily to walk out of here feeling like that. I want you to know that your sons and daughters, if you're a new man in Christ Jesus, that's who you are. That's who you are. because of who you're connected to, who your likeness is connected, who you've been brought into as a new man. Last night, I laughingly told that story again to some friends about my brother and I. We were little boys going to my dad's teaching at College of Business here in town. Went to that building there at UNT. And on that floor that Dad's office was on was also where a lot of classrooms were. But they had the faculty lounge. Some of you remember me telling this story. They had the faculty lounge for the professors at the college on that floor. And all the students, some reason my brother and I were there one day when the students were in session. And we went strutting down there as an 8-year-old and 11-year-old. And we pushed that faculty lounge door in and we went strolling in there. No problem. College students couldn't go in there. On what basis did Philip and Pat do that? We had an identity with somebody who could go in there. That was my dad. And we went strolling in there absolutely convinced, at peace, that because we were sons of our dad, we had the rights or we had grace, the ability to go in there and enjoy buying a bottle of Coke and a pack of peanuts. I mean, we were living it up. Because we were in Him. It was who we were as His sons. Saints, a Christian is bearing. They're bearing, they're portraying the image of Jesus Christ because He's alive in them. They're in Him. He's transforming them more and more. The outward man is perishing, but what does it say about the inward man? It's being renewed daily. It's being renewed. We're not talking about just what you look at. We're talking about the whole of their life, the totality of who they are as God's vessel. You read biographies, you read stories, you hear about other Christians, and you hear of the image of God on that vessel. How did they get there? Grace. Saints, because of the grace of regeneration, the new birth, you are a new man. You're not a double man. You're not half and half. You're not trying to live in this camp and live in this camp. That has been done away with. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. You are a new man in Christ Jesus. And therefore, you can look at sin and you can look at the list that Paul gave by His grace in you and you can say, it is not I. That's not what I'm about. You may drive by something this week. You may think some thought this week and you may say out loud to yourself, that is not I. I'm not going there because I'm in Christ Jesus. And by His grace in your daily life, active grace, the power of God in His people, we grow and you grow more into His likeness, a resemblance of the Great One, Christ Jesus. Amen. That's the truth. That's what Paul is basing everything about living and walking together in, how we relate, how we relate as husbands and wives, parenting, all that we are in Him. And next week, if this is the case, if there's one new man, then there are no divisions. There's no separations between Jew and Gentile. No socioeconomic, racial, skin color, or any other division in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. We are one humanity, one people, one living bride. And that's for next week. Amen. Let me pray. Father, thank You for this precious word that we've put off the old man and we have put on the new man. You've done it. Men don't do it. Men don't take themselves from darkness to light. Men don't give themselves a new heart. Men don't make things all new. You do that. It's a miracle. It's the work of grace. It's the redeeming love of God. It's the power of God to save a sinner. And Father, thank You that it is true that the Christian from a 7-year-old to a 97-year-old have been brought in as a new man, growing in You, being taught of Thee, and being conformed to Your image. Glory to God for such a great salvation. Thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ who has brought us into the family of God. Help Your people today. Lord, we don't want to be smug or arrogant in any way. We want to be joyful and humbled and grateful to walk as Your children and honor You and love You and press on in growing in grace. Thank You through Christ.